Yeah, I think more of it just, you know, time on task, John, honestly, to say, do they have experience together? Yes. Banked reps? Yes. But still, like yesterday, we ran a deep play action, you know, that was over to Terry. That was like a good route that you'd seen before. So now it's, hey, let's work this one some more, this one a little bit more. So Jaden's excellent with that, to work a specific route with a specific player on some things. And so that's what you'll see more with him and Terry, extras, earlies, this specific route, this timing, because it's not all the same for every player. And so that's kind of the challenge of it, you know, from a quarterback and a receiver, not the, you know, the playing zone where you're, you know, back facing the quarterback, but, you know, deep overs, comebacks, the timing of it. So that's what they'll continue to work through.
Obviously, they're both very good players, right? But together, they, you know, the connection, the reds and all that, is there something else about how they are, how they operate, besides just being good, that allows them to have a certain connection?
Yeah, I would say the complementary reason that comes to mind first, I would think, John, is one's an exceptional deep ball ability to go track it, and the other's exceptionally throwing it. So I think maybe there's, I've never really thought of it in that way, but there's probably some complementary football that goes to one another. So here's a guy that can really go and get on top of people and catch it over different shoulders on a deep ball, and a quarterback who's got the touch to do it. So I think that's probably the biggest complementary piece, you know, of their games, that they're able to, you know, support one another on the things, two of the things that they both do really well.
To the guys who made the squad, they take a deep breath, exhale. What about you guys who sat there and went over every different name and every player and went back and forth?
Yeah.
When you finally make that 53, how did you guys react?
Yeah, it's a hard thing. It's not as hard as the players going through it, that's for sure. They have the toughest spot. But there were a lot of ones that kept us up at night. Let's think through it again. Get a late text from Adam, this and this. So, you know, like a either or, a scenario. And so I like going through those exercises with him, Chick, because it also gets me to think and think of it in different ways. And so I had, from my own knowledge, I wanted the coaches, they're going to rank everybody at this spot and what their roles would be week one. What about week five? You know, so we could think about what it looks like today and then what it looks like a month or two from now. So as coaches, you do have to think that way. And then also, I know we talk about practice squad and not, but I think of it like 70 men, knowing that here you're counted on to be responsible to be ready. And so if that's an elevation this week or a following week, it's going to happen. So I want them to just prepare and play in that way. So it's not like they don't get reps at practice. They do. And I want to make sure that, like, these are the standards and how we have to go about them.
And with the departure of B-Rob, a guy like C-Rod, Chris Rodriguez, he's been here now 3 years. His evolution is what to you?
Consistent, for one. I would say, like, when somebody can demonstrate over and over again that they're willing to put the work in, find the right read, just not just the physical skill, but mentally on the special teams. Like, he's a player, Chick, that this team really trusts. If you ask Larry, like yesterday, he was giving the look on punt to another player who's playing the wing. That's the same spot Chris often plays. So that move that he hit, he knows what stresses him. And so I thought, what a great example of, like, Jeremy and him providing the look of things that can be troublesome to some of the other players. And if you can get your team to a spot like that where they're testing one another and pushing one another, that's a really big deal. And I think Chris is a great example of that. I saw it in the preseason games, whether he was just excited when Bill had a big run against Cincinnati, as he was for himself. And so that doesn't happen all the time. And but I like his fight. I like that he really worked hard to change his body. And, you know, those are things that when people continue to show you that, then, like, you pay attention.
To follow up on that, did you intend to keep four backs? Once you guys traded Brian Robinson, did you know you would keep four backs? And how much did Chris's play in, you know, preseason camp, and I guess even late last season, kind of play into his getting a spot this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it was definitely, like, usually it's at the skill spot. How many tight ends, how many running backs? the evolution also of the return game, Nikki, that's influenced me too, because those are more plays and examples to go see if we can, you know, further even that starting field position. You know, right now at the touchback on the 35, we're anticipating a lot of people putting it into play, but we don't know that yet. And so I think that part of the game does, it feels running back-ish. Not to say that Debo is a receiver, but he runs hard like a back in a lot of ways. So he's certainly another one that we'll have, but I think that is a big part of it. We think of like an A back and a B back, Austin out of the backfield, third down. So it's not one size fits all, but I do like the versatility of the room.
Cliff said a week or so ago that you can't really tell what the offense is until you got some of the pieces back.
Right.
Now that you
not fully, but I do know that like we've still run the same. So it's not like the system changes. So putting them into some of those plays may look differently because of who the ball player is, you know, at that spot. But it's not like a new system comes in. So I think that's important to know for 10 others on that specific play, they'll be doing the same exact job. So let's face it, with,
you know, what is the ceiling for this
field? Well, that, I think it grows, you know, like I'm hopeful that the team we are and one is going to be really strong and stronger in four and stronger in eight as we're building it. And if we hit all the marks, then we should do that. Our skills should get sharper. But I like the competitiveness at the receiver spot. And it's not just, you know, Terry and Debo and Noah, but like Jalen is that way. Luke is that way. Like these are guys that like to battle for it. Our league is made up of a lot of contested catches. And it's one of the things Terry's exceptional at. Debo's in that same space. Noah is there. Certainly Luke and Jalen, they make up like a fierce competitive group. And so that's important. And knowing that like in tight coverage, these guys are going to go fight for the ball.
And sir?
Hey, Dave.
I know that the offensive line is a unit, and John's part of that too. And so there's a lot of moving parts. But do you have a working theory as to which side you'd like to run to on third and two, fourth and one?
You're like, I like that you included John. I think Don Warren would be awful proud of you to put the tight end as part of the O-line. He is an exceptional blocker. I don't know that yet, no. But I do like the athleticism of the group. And so we have tested gap pulling schemes to the left, to the right, putting different guys in different spots. Coleman's been back in there. He's another guy that can get to the move. We've improved also in the screen games because we're ready to go to one side. But as far as like a fourth down, got to have it going to this side, we're not there yet to say this is where the ball is going to go.
You're not there yet with...
Yeah, or I'm not there to share that with you yet. I might be closer to that than I'm letting on, but I am... I'm closer, closer than you.
Next week, with the schedule, how much Packers do you put in next week along with the Giants, given that you got a short schedule the following week?
The coaches really had to be the ones to put it in over the weekend, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So while Adam and I were busy with that, they really dug in on Green Bay. And so that way, when they could then, as the week went on, that it kind of shifted. But having a Thursday game is challenging. Having a Thursday game at week two is better than week seven, because having, I don't know if the term would be exactly right, like a preseason bye, you know how we've changed the schedule. So this window allows flexibility. I'm sure some teams are just doing, hey, 2 weeks on the opponent they're playing in the opener. But with that Thursday, there is some windows that the coaches aren't with the players, and they had Sunday off. I met with them by myself Monday. The players then had off Tuesday to begin practice Wednesday. So there was some pockets that they were able to do that. And then you have to shut the folders and put that in the drawer, and it doesn't come back out again until that Monday. But it did help.
It did. Fourth down success last year was such a big part of the team story. Like history and like just probability would say it's very difficult to duplicate 87% success rate on fourth down.
Agreed.
How do you approach that? The idea that you're, you know, chasing that, but it's also, you know, probably not something you can like count on
Yeah.
achieving again.
it's not all one, you know, going into the game, sometimes it's, I want to make sure we're stealing another possession. So there's some strategy going on with that. It's about like 9 drives or so a game as you're going through it. And so how do we gain an advantage on somebody? Sometimes going for it on 4th does that. Where's the kicker, you know, comfort level to go into that space? And then it's really by the distance. You look at the opponent, you know, where do they fall on the end ones? How about in 2s? You know, where do they play on the 3s and 4s? If it's a certain style, maybe you're more apt to know what you're going to expect. But, yeah, Jaden was a big factor, you know, in that 87% or whatever the number was. There was a handful for sure that was called one thing and then something happened and like he made the rest go down. Like we don't have a play called that. You don't want to count on that. That's a reactive way of the ball player doing his thing, but you don't want to lean into that. I think that's irresponsible. You want to make sure, hey, this is what we think we're going to do, how we're going to go down. But really by game is we make those decisions as much as we can before the game. So going in, the coordinators know what to expect, how we're going to do it. And then as the game unfolds, I'll communicate with them, you know, where we're at. But I think the secret for me on the telling the coordinators is early in the drive. So no one's ever caught off guard. Hey, we're going to go for it here, you know, like because it can impact some of your 3rd down calls if it's into 4th down, knowing that you may have 2 downs.
Follow up on what John's asking for about, you know, quarterback receiver connection. You've defended a lot of those. You know, you had Matt and Julio in Atlanta. For you, like, what are kind of like the, you know, earmarks of what makes a great quarterback receiver tandem aside from just, you know, great skill on by both players?
From my defensive perspective, you know this route's going to happen and they still complete it. Like, that's the hardest. Like, damn, we talked about this throw or this route and they're so exceptional at that that they were able to, you know, put it in the right location at the right spot. But it is a real thing. The connection, chemistry, all of that matters. The best of the best players, they spend a lot of time together. That's even outside of coaching and that to make sure those moments are delivered upon. But we're fortunate that Jaden and Terry are two that do that extra.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned...
Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back. You mentioned Jalen Lane. I guess I'll start with a specific question. You knew what you were getting in him kind of when you drafted him. What has surprised you about him over the past couple weeks?
We knew the punt return ability was really strong. What I probably didn't know, and I knew he was fast and explosive, but the way that he's taken to coaching from Bobby, you can almost see the drill work come into the play. And so... like there's a specific way you run an option route when somebody's on you. You don't want to hustle too quickly because then the defender's not really into the stress. So seeing him fully express how to work somebody into a technique, that's a really big deal because in college, especially on offenses that play really fast, there's not as much man-to-man. And so that's one of the things that can be more challenging for a slot or a wide receiver that's playing in a tempo offense, like because college plays faster than we play. So you see less matching and tight coverage. So they're able to run their routes at full speed and hit it and go to the next play. And so running an option route, defeating leverage, beating people in man-to-man, that's been an impressive, I'm not going to call it catch-up, but like development from the time he's arrived to where he is today.
And then a philosophical question. I know he played for his dad in high school, and you probably get a lot of guys who are sons of coaches. Is that like an overblown thing, or is there something different about guys who grew up around the sport in that way?
That's a better question for Jalen. I would say it's got to factor in somehow when you're 5 years old and you're at football practice when other people aren't. You saw things that happen, and I'm sure, like, you know, it matters. You know, Cliff's father was a defensive coordinator. So, you know, that different sides of the ball and coached him as the, so he said, yeah, try throwing an interception in high school when your dad's the D coordinator, you know, not so easy. So with Jalen, like being around football his whole life, is that a factor on why some of those things are coming easier? Possibly. But at the end of it, man, like I like just the work that he's putting in for these rookies, what they're doing right now. This is the hardest thing they've ever done. And that's a real thing. And but they'll make it, you know, but they have to put in the work, whether you grew up as a coach's kid or not. Like, it comes down to what we do out on the field, on the grass, like at practice. That's where it has to go down. And I'm encouraged because what I've seen from him is this steady rise.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Got time for three more?
Yep. We talked extensively about you taking lessons from your first head coaching run to this one and not copy-pasting, making things better this time around. Having led a previously successful team through training camp this year, what are some of the lessons you pulled from that last experience to this one?
I really lean in, David, and you'll appreciate this from the military side, is the after actions. What did I like? What did we need to do differently? What needs to stay the same? And so that prepared me to go into, okay, from a coaching side in these practices, we changed the length of our individual session to being longer. They wanted more time on more skill work. The team's in better shape now, so we practiced a little bit longer. We got more reps than we did last year in almost the same amount of time. So we're becoming more efficient, but because the guys are really fit and they're ready in the system, it's allowed us to practice more. So that's been a benefit. So I'd say, looking back before you begin the planning of what took place on the last training camp, what did I like? And I just finished this year's of things I liked. So as I'm, that'll go into the drawer and be ready for 26. But it does help to have an after action process to say, this went well, we need to do this more. And that's how I went about it.
If Tiger Woods can change his golf swing multiple times over the course of 10, 15 years of complete dominance, a football team can sure evolve. And I love that DQ has that mindset of, hey, man, we were good last year, but we got to get better.
Find out how you get better.
Everybody's got to get better every year. And you know who understands that? The folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. This afternoon, I'm going to drive my Orsman Fairfax Toyota 4Runner home. Then my wife and kids and I are going to get in our Orsman Fairfax Toyota Sequoia and drive to the beach. I buy cars from these people. This is where I get my car's service. I trust them. They take great care of me and my family. They'll take great care of you and your family. They've got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly. All the options you're looking for, all the brands. They've got great deals, great quality certified used vehicles, and great financing. But above all, B, they got that Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Yep, that's why I send my kids over there. I bought all their cars from them. When they go over there, they take care of them. Their Lifetime Edge gives you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. They give you loaner cars with every major maintenance, and they give you a lifetime engine guarantee. And there's more good news. If you have a car to sell, take it over to Orsman. They'll pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value. Other people want to give you 100%. Some people want to only give up to 90%. They give you up to 125% regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy, just like JP and I. We're two beyond satisfied Orsman customers. Let's ride together.